It's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning, and you're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show here in Highland Radio. How are you keeping? It's a wonderfully bright, sunny day across the Northwest today. Hopefully it's like that where you are, and we're going to keep a spring in your step over the course of the next 3 hours with all the very latest news, views and features. And we have a few interesting items, as we always do for you. From 11 o'clock, we're going to have a special preview of the Donegal International Rally. Oisin Kelly, Brian and Eamon will be in with us to talk about, the sport and what we can expect over the course of the next number of days. We'll also have representations from Angada Síochána in as well, just to talk about the policing of it. And I suppose forearmed is forewarned is forearmed, isn't that saying? And there's going to be a lot of Gardaí about. There's going to be a lot of unmarked cars about, and they want you to, not quite simply, and it's not you, I know it's not you, but those that are coming in maybe to tag on to the rally and not even watch the rally, they want the race to be kept in its place. So we're going to be talking about that a little later on. So that's from 11. Also, there's a very interesting little night out coming up in association with Highland Radio, and we're going to have Keith Fletcher in. Lee Gooch is going to return, so those two are involved, you can imagine. And Corrine from the sales team is going to be down to tell us a little bit more about that. But suffice to say, it's a fun night that's coming up in the not too distant future. The two boys are involved, and Corrine's going to tell us more about it as well. So that's coming up probably around about 20 past half past 10, and lots more in between now and then. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number if you want to give us a call. That's if you want to give us a text or a WhatsApp. If you want to give us a call, it's 07491 25,000. Caroline, as always, Katie's working with Caroline today on the show. If you want to email the program, it's comments@highlandradio.com. And of course, just to remind you, you don't just have to interact with us when we're live. Maybe you're listening to the podcast, or maybe you're watching the show back, like Lee Gooch was at 11 o'clock last night when he should be asleep. If you're watching or viewing on demand, let me put it to you like that, feel free to email us, comments@highlandradio.com. We still love your feedback, and we can carry whatever you send to us into the next live show. Or, if you only listen on demand, into your next podcast. Do you get me? Right, you can watch the show, YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, your go-to spot, your Fire Stick, your Smart TV. Both of them have the YouTube app. Maybe you've got a Google streaming device as well. They all have YouTube, anything plugged into your telly like that. Your kids' Xbox, your PlayStation, they have YouTube as well. And you can just type in and watch the show. And we're on Facebook, and we're on the X platform as well. The Tyrconnell Tribune's main story is construction companies in North Donegal are faced with increased costs in housing. Sources have said that recent quotes for buying blocks and laying them down have increased by a minimum of €7,000 in the past 12 months. We're told, the paper is, this is about average for Donegal, with reports that many bricklayers do not have much work on hand. At the same time, materials have also risen, with concrete prices up from €68 to over €120 per cubic metre, an increase of 68% in recent years. Labour and installation costs are also at record levels, along with escalating costs across most products. It is feared these increases will have serious implications in the business. Price rises are a major headache for defective block homeowners preparing to rebuild, and for those waiting for the promised increase of 10% in the defective blocks grant. Contractors engaged in the government remediation scheme say they've been left seriously out of pocket, with huge delays causing havoc. Once source told the Tribune, the final payment is made to the homeowners and contractors may experience delays due to the legislative process. All other phases of payments are okayed by an engineer and payment is prompt most of the time. All of the contractors are asking is for the council to employ the same engineer to sign off on the last payment, with the payment going directly to the construction firm that carried the work out. Okay, that's a good analysis of where we're at and how things are changing. The Donegal News, the family of a Gorta Hawke man living with lung fibrosis, who has to receive 24-hour home oxygen therapy, has said the lack of specialist care services locally is taking its toll. Eamon Doohan was diagnosed with the devastating life-limiting and progressive disease a year and a half ago. The 52-year-old's unable to speak because of its severity, and Mr. Doohan, who is currently being tested for transplant must travel to the Mater Hospital in Dublin for appointments. His family are now calling for an urgent reform to care services amid what they've described as the emotional, physical and financial stress due to being forced to travel long distances at their own cost. The Derry news this morning, appeal for calm after Derry disorder. There have been appeals for calm following two nights of violence in Derry. Petrol bombs were thrown at police in the Naylor's Row area of the city after disorder broke out for a second evening on Tuesday. During the disorder, which began from 7:40pm, multiple petrol bombs, fireworks, heavy masonry, planks of wood and bricks were thrown at police who were deployed outside Alexander House. 14 officers were injured during the disorder, some of whom required hospital treatment. During the course of the disorder, authorised police officers discharged one alternating energy projectile, striking a rioter running towards the police line with lit petrol bombs, who has since been arrested. 11 arrests were made, 8 male teenagers aged between 14 and 17, and 3 men aged 19, 30 and 47 years old. I mean, I'm not saying if you're over 18 you can riot and attack the police, but the adults are standing alongside these 8 male teenagers between 14 and 17. Well, on Monday evening, there was disorder in the same area where police came under attack with masonry and fireworks used. 3 officers were injured. So I don't know what resolves that. Do you have a dodgy box? Well, apparently Sky Ireland is warning of consequences. Around 400,000 people in Ireland use dodgy boxes. Sky Ireland is warning up to 400,000 dodgy box users of consequences if caught streaming sports or films using the illegal devices. The warning comes as the broadcaster, along with other industry bodies, is set to appear in the High Court after an injunction and search order was issued against a suspected operator of a dodgy box streaming service in Wexford. The alleged operation includes piracy of Sky, Premier Sports, GEA Plus, League of Ireland TV and Clubber, among others, accessed by thousands of Irish dodgy box owners and multiple resellers. 2 additional people associated with the dodgy box operation were also served with cease and desist notices by the industry and piracy body, Federation Against Copyright Theft. The notices warned them to stop their illicit streaming activities or face criminal prosecution. An Ireland Thinks poll for the Sunday Independent last year indicated that 1 in 5 people in Ireland use dodgy boxes or illegal streaming services. And the consequences for the end user are complicated. I do note, though, that Sky's, certainly in Britain and I'm sure in Ireland, Sky and both BT, both of them, of course, are in the broadband industry, but also are in the sports industry. Both Sky and BT now are sending their new routers out that have a shield on them. And up until now, if you had one of those boxes, you could switch the shield off and allow yourself to stream these programs if you wished. But now that user ability to switch the shield off is no longer there. So anyone getting a new Sky router or a BT router will find either their IPTV will not work or will just constantly buffer because of its being throttled through certain ports. So that's what they're doing behind the scenes. So if you are one of these people that stream and you do get a new router from BT or from Sky, or indeed if they can patch the ones that are there, you're going to have problems. Right, so the Fire Stick is the most common one. I know most of you have your Fire Stick for watching this show, so we appreciate that. You wouldn't be at that crack, would you? But as I say, for the end user, the consequences, it's really the suppliers. It's not even the resellers. It's the people that actually host the servers that supply the service. Changes to the state system of rent pressure zones will have a positive effect on supply, but will be painful for renters, the central bank has said. There's something about this scheme that I don't understand. So in Donegal, for an example, how do I explain it without complicating it further in my own head, not for you, the listener. But anyway, the idea is that this allows new rents to be set at the market rate. So say in Dublin, New rents are €2,200. That's the market rate. So if you build a new property, or if tenants move out and you, by their own will, you know, by their own choice, and you move tenants in, theoretically, let's use Dublin as an example, you can set rates at €2,200. So why are the government doing this? Well, the idea being is that they can build 30 or 40,000 houses a year, but they need another 30 or 40 pieces of accommodation, 1,000 per year, to match demand. So to incentivize companies from outside the country so that they can make a profit, they are allowing rents to be fixed in new properties, or new rents to be reset at the market value. Now, the idea being that this introduces more rent, more rental accommodation, with the hope that maybe down the line the rents go down. Now, that's the part that I don't understand, because as soon as the rents get to a point, say they do start coming down, whereby external companies can't make a living, then they again start building houses, because they're saying, you know, we've got you over a barrel here. We're not building private rental accommodation because we can't make any money from it. So they'll build it until such time as they go back to the government, surely, and say, well, we're not building any more rental accommodation because we're not making a profit. So it feels to me that rents will never be lower than they are now using this strategy. And I'm only guessing. I'm only guessing here because I don't know. But it's almost as if rents on... So in other words, anyone moving out of a house, out of their parents' house, or moving house in Donegal now, is going to have to pay 12, 13, 14, 1500 euro a month, depending where you are. Those rents will never go back down to 600, 700, 800 again, surely, because the companies won't, they already know now they have the government over a barrel, that they effectively can set a rent whereby they feel it's worth investing. Now, as I say, unless there's something I'm missing, the government-built housing is going to go to those that are on housing waiting lists and what have you, I suppose, right? But then there is a working poor, or you know, somewhere in between very rich and working poor, that they're always going to have to pay these new market rates that I don't think will ever come down. Why might they ever come down unless there's a recession or a crash or something along those lines? So whilst it might deliver more housing, I think the bottom line is though, whatever the rent is now, is that pretty much as cheap as it will ever get? And what a blooming starting point. Like, it's inflated. It feels inflated anyway. But anyway, maybe I'm misreading it, but that's the impression I'm getting from these new reforms. Because as I say, if you're an investment company, you already know that you've got the government by the ghoulies, because you stop building houses and they introduce measures like this. And then they're guaranteed to be able to rent out an apartment in Dublin for €2,300, and then increase it with inflation. So if inflation goes up 6% on a new rent, they can just up the rent straight away by 6%, which would be an extra like 130 euro on €2,200. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. And then you can't build a house either. It's interesting. I know what they're saying is they have to do something because what's happening at the moment's not working. But I don't know. We're on the brink, apparently. The world held its breath last night as the Israel-Iran conflict edged towards a wider war, as Donald Trump's threatened airstrikes by the US, saying, "I may do it, I may not do it." This is his type of diplomacy. Remember, he criticised every former president for dragging America into wars. I don't know if you know off the top of the head. I'll just actually double check that I have this figure correct. But, you know, they're talking about taking on Iran now, and Iran are a very resilient people, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, if you know what I mean. But the Iranian population is, what do you think it is? It's 90 million. 90 million. So this is a very big country with a lot of very motivated people, and would not be easy to overthrow. By comparison, Israel's a population of 9 million. So Iranians are also backed by China, Russia, by the way. They're not a lone state like Iraq might have been. They are backed by Russia, and even Vladimir Putin having a go at Donald Trump now. We're heading to a point whereby someone's going to have to back down, and I don't think it's necessarily going to be the Iranians and their backers. But anyway, Donald Trump's thrown that threat out there. He looks like he is going to drag the American people into another war. The Irish Farmers Journal, alarm bells rings on Tam's Fund. Farmers who apply to future tranches of the targeted agricultural modernisation scheme may not get into the scheme due to a potential funding shortfall. There have been 42,000 applications to the scheme so far. There's now a risk that the allocated funding will not be enough to cover future applications. Maybe that appeals to you. Very sad news from down the country. A teenage boy, a lovely, handsome young fella, who died after getting into difficulties while swimming, was named yesterday's Peter Byrne. The 17-year-old from Dolman Gardens, Carlow, was found by Gardaí divers around 11 p.m. on Tuesday. He was understood to have been swimming with a friend when tragedy struck at around 6:30 p.m. in the River Barrow in the Milford area of the county. Now, that's a different Milford to our Milford, of course, 8 kilometres from his hometown. And our thoughts are with him and his family and his friends. And just as a little reminder, if you don't mind, and I don't want to be preachy, we often, I think particularly because the county we're in, we often sort of focus on sea safety, because you know, pier jumping or using our beaches and all that kind of stuff. But we do have quite a bit of inland waterway, and often they can present even more dangers than the sea might. The water in our rivers and lakes still very, very cold. There can be lots of weeds and stuff that you can get your feet tangled in, and whatever else might be in there. So just exercise real caution, and maybe that's the advice I'll be giving to my boys, and maybe you should do so too, that because it seems calm on the surface, it doesn't tell the whole picture. And water, both in the sea and, of course, our inland waters, freezing. The Sun, the health watchdog, is powerless to punish the big firms who've taken over our nursing home industry. It's been admitted. It's funny, yesterday I was talking about HICWA and what role they had. They're pretty toothless, obviously, because one or two of the nursing homes featured in the RTE documentary, there's 200 or 300 complaints against them, and they were still in a situation whereby RTE were able to go and video what they videoed. So what's HICWA doing? HICWA apologised for its failings after a shocking documentary showed OAPs being abused. An RTE probe exposed the neglect of residents at those two homes mentioned. Some 198 allegations of abuse were at Beneven Manor, were made since the beginning of 2022, and there were 40 at the residence since December 2023, the Oireachtas Health Committee yesterday heard. But what were HICWA doing? HICWA were closing down a nursing home in Donegal because the fire exit wasn't too big, or was too big. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that happened, but you know what I'm on about. Like, how many of your services out there have been dismantled or shut down because of HICWA? Busybodying. I'm not saying what they're doing in that area shouldn't be done, right? But it feels like they're busybodying, and services being stripped out of hospitals never to return again. And when it comes down to real tangible abuse and complaints, it's they seem to be able to do nothing. Make that make sense. And finally, the parents of Deb's crash victims, Clea McCann, are heartbroken after being told the DPP has decided not to appeal the leniency of the sentence of driver Anthony McGinn. She's called Tragic Kia. Kia wasn't tragic. I hate that phraseology. She was a vibrant, beautiful young girl. She was not tragic. I wish they would stop doing that. What happened to her was tragic and an absolute tragedy, but she was a beautiful young girl in the apple of her parents' eye, and she's far from tragic. But certainly what happened to her was she died in a horrific crash along with her best friend, Dilawa Mohammed, as driver McGinn ignored their pleas to slow down. They were begging him to slow down and he didn't, and he crashed. And he got a pretty light sentence, according to what most people feel, but also what the family feel, which is most important. The DPP not going to appeal it. So they're very, very disappointed. Rightio, 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. So we were talking earlier on about the front page of the Tyrconnell Tribune, talking about, you know, for those people who have progressed on the DCB scheme, the rising costs associated with actually building. But there's a whole other cohort as well who are trying to get on the scheme and are on the scheme, I suppose you could say, but are being frustrated by it. Amongst them is one of the DCB downgraded cohort, Marty McElhinney. Marty, thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to everyone listening.
Yeah, you don't have I was going to say luxury, but you're not at the point yet where you can even start worrying about, you know, a square metre of concrete or how much it costs to lay a block, because you're just in DCB purgatory, really.
Yep, absolute limbo through no fault of our own. And the downgrade decisions have just affected us all so much that we just want to move on, and we are being stalled at every turn.
Recap for listeners who may not be aware what the at least 150 families, the situation, the downgraded family situation, so to speak.
Downgraded homeowners, we were obliged to engage a chartered, registered, IS465 registered chartered engineer at significant cost. We did this. You know, these engineers were on a list supplied by Donegal County Council. They came out and they assessed our properties thoroughly. They took into consideration the scientific analysis from the cores. And these engineers, these professionals, they determined our homes must be demolished. We then were transferred from the old scheme to the new scheme. And the housing agency then decreed that actually, no, you don't need to demolish your home. You can just do option two, option three, option four. They did this based on our older engineers' reports without ever setting foot in our property. They never visited our homes. They never conducted any up-to-date assessment of damage to date, and they were meant to, because they were issued a description of services saying they must assess the extent of damage to date. Mm-hmm. So the further deterioration based on the time lapse between when they made their decision and under engineers' reports, you know, in some cases were 4 years. These homes don't stop deteriorating, they continue. Okay. The other thing then is that the housing agency, when they downgraded our homes, they based all downgrades on the assumption that the blocks retained are not at risk of mica freeze-thaw and are of adequate compressive strength. There's no evidence whatsoever supporting mica freeze-thaw. In fact, we're all very, very aware that internal sulfate attached to the presence of pyrotite is the reason why our homes are crumbling.
Well, on that basis alone, I mean, we know now that's a flawed assessment, right? So on that basis alone, the houses really need to be reassessed because...
Well, there's two thoughts there. Yeah, we know it's not mica. We know it's not mica. But the thing is that every single downgraded homeowner has pyrotite present in the blocks of their home, as noted in our original testing.
Right, that's already shown. Okay, I get you.
Yeah, that's already shown. So we know that pyrotite is there. We also know that the housing agency were mandated to consider pyrotite. The housing agency shall, in its analysis and deliberation, take into consideration the presence of pyrotite. This was mandated. They didn't. You know, we know from our downgrade reports they didn't. We know from their engineers who have helped us do our appeals that pyrotite wasn't considered. So we have all this. You know, we have tried to get clarity on this, and we've all been left in this position where we've absolutely no faith in the housing agency. You know, pyrotite was mandated to be considered. All downgrades are based on mica freeze-thaw. There was no site visit, and there was meant to be an assessment of the damage to date.
I know you said in an email that the review of IS465 means very little to us. There is, you know, some speculation that maybe IS465 will point to the fact that there should be only one option, and that be demolition, because... because it's not freeze-thaw, because it's in the blocks and maybe the foundations, that the whole house will eventually deteriorate inside as well as out. So if the review found that all houses are to be demolished, whether or not foundations are included, would that not then bring you guys into the demolished situation, I wonder?
Well, firstly, we're already in that. We should already be getting demolished,
of course,
because we have engineers saying that. But secondly, you're talking about a technical review to be conducted by the housing agency, which, as it stands, we've no faith in. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the other thing is, we've all submitted appeals. You know, the appeals, as it stands, is our only legal pathway to have our original engineers' determinations reinstated. Our appeals are good and they are valid.
Why are they taking so long to be processed? Have you been able to get any answers? So when did you lodge your appeal, or typically when did a downgraded family lodge their appeal? It was 23, was it?
Their appeals lodged since October, November 2023. Downgraded Donegal homeowners started to lodge their appeals in March 24. That's 15 months ago.
So are you is there any communication from the Department of Housing as to the process of them, who's reviewing them, how far along you are, when a decision might be made, or are they sitting you know, in an inbox or a folder somewhere and no one's going anywhere near them until, say, for instance, the review of IS465 is completed. However, they might connect that, right? So are you being given any information as to why it appears there's no process of review ongoing?
So the department and such would say that the appeals are independent, firstly, okay? But then on Tuesday the 17th, I had a response from Darren Lehan, the chair of the appeals panel. He kind of says appeals are independent. He cannot discuss individual options or individual appeals. Note here, I never asked him because I would be well aware of that. Then he gives an explanation of how the appeals process works and says it's time-consuming, but it's necessary. And we know nothing. We're no further forward. We asked him directly for a reason for the delays and a timeline. Both questions were completely ignored. Mm-hmm. And after 15 months, you know, we don't know, have appeals been validated yet? We don't know, have they even gone to the HA for comment, which is part of the process? Have they even started looking at appeals regarding downgraded homeowners?
Does an appeal include a site visit? Do we know that? Would an appeal include a site visit, or would that site visit come off the back of a successful appeal?
One of the options is they can send us back to the deciding body, which would be the housing agency in our case. So that, I suppose they could, but part of the process itself is they can go to the housing agency looking for comment on it. Mm-hmm. But we don't know if this has happened. You know, somebody, like, they're saying nothing regarding the downgraded homeowners. Silence is deafening. Mm-hmm. We've no clarity. They could give us some information about it, because at the minute we don't even know if appeals have been validated regarding downgraded homeowners. That's the limbo we're in 15 months later.
Right. Well, we'll contact the Minister for Housing, though. I mean, at the moment, he's up to his ears with the rent pressure zones and all that type of stuff. But, like, how I believe maybe we could progress it is to ask his office to determine precisely what stage the appeals process is at, or what is the process of that appeal. Because I did ask him about this, and I know you had an opportunity to grill him on it when he was up in Donegal, and he did come up, and fair play to him. But I think as the head of this situation, if his office can't actually find out this information, it raises serious questions then, I suppose, about that whole office and its influence. So, I mean, that's what we can do. What did you do in the email? What's your email to him about?
I'm speaking about, you know, that we were able to speak candidly to him regarding everything that has happened with the downgraded homeowners, our views on everything, what has happened, the horrific limbo we're now residing in through no fault of our own. So I'm kind of beseeching him to act. You know, there is no justification for the downgrades. We have people now who are residing in this limbo for over 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, 5 years is a long time to not be able to move on. You know, you're talking little things and you're talking big things, but our homes never stop deteriorating. Mm-hmm.
No,
you know, I have internal partition cracks now in the inside of my home that they were never noted. They were never noted. And they want me to keep these internal partition walls. We all know now that once it starts, it doesn't stop. I can never rebuild this house the way it's been left. The option one that we got was the correct option. We have engineers report, which actually is bringing me to another point where we're also being stalled. We've all submitted complaints as well to Engineers Ireland. You know, Engineers Ireland are the governing body for engineers in Ireland. And the complaints detail serious breaches of Engineers Ireland's code of ethics and guidance notes. These are valid complaints, and we're being stalled there as well. You know, we're being stalled at every turn, no matter what we try to do. And it's important to flag that Engineers Ireland are also going to need to step up and adjudicate in these complaints, because there's two groups of engineers. You know, we have one group that are independent, say, and they're the ones that we were obliged to engage. They considered all standards, not just the widely acknowledged, not fit for purpose IS465. They considered, you know, statutory requirements, scientific developments, ethical guidance, and their own experience in the ground. These were Donegal engineers. Mm-hmm. They knew that there was something going on here with these homes. They didn't leave the risk with homeowners. They knew that the houses had to be demolished, and that's what they decreed.
But if the truth is told us, sorry, go ahead, Marty. I do have to move along, but no, finish your point, please.
Then we have the other group of engineers, and it is important, and this is true, to point out that these are government indemnified engineers, so they're not working off their own PI insurance, and they are adhering strictly to a brief from the housing agency and the not fit for purpose IS465s. But these engineers work under the umbrella of Engineers Ireland, So they are obligated to consider, you know, they can't just disregard the current scientific research standards and statutory obligations and override the determinations of their peers without even visiting the property. So the complaints submitted are valid, but we're being stalled there as well. And Engineers Ireland have the stance that, you know, normally a decision is reached within 2 months of receipt of all written and oral submissions. These complaints have been submitted 10 months ago.
Okay, yeah. It's the delay is unacceptable, and we're not even talking about foundations yet, because we don't, you know you're talking about sort of, you know, dividing walls and what have you, and who's to say how deep this goes, quite literally. Marty, we're going to chase up the housing minister on this, as well as what the work you're doing. I think really we might double up on it. If we don't get anything this week, try again next week, because they're trying to get this rent pressure zone across the line this week before end of business on Friday. But we're certainly not going to neglect it, and as I say, it might require a double chase up. My suspicions are, but leave it with us, Marty. It's a horrible situation so many of you find yourselves in, and thanks for being such an eloquent spokesperson for everybody else. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for the time too.
Bye-bye. Salam. Bye-bye. Take care. And we're joined on the programme now by Councillor Jack Murray. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with us. All right, you have been helping a very desperate family. They need a home and they are really up against it time-wise. What can you tell us about their case?
Yeah, and thank you for having me to put this appeal across the airwaves, your own show. I've been dealing with a young couple and their four young children for the last month, who have been desperately seeking accommodation, and it's come to the crunch now. By Monday, they have to be gone from the house. It's in the Drumfries area. It's due to be demolished due to defective blocks. So they've four young children aged between one and 10. One of the children is autistic, so obviously any move would cause great upset to them. So they want to stay as close as possible to the home that they now live. The children are schooling in Drumfries National School, so they would need anywhere really between from Fawn to Clonmany to accommodate this young family. And so I put up a post and an appeal on Facebook just the day before yesterday, and look, the response and the feedback from people has been extremely encouraging, extremely helpful. They've pointed out a number of houses, but unfortunately every time this family inquired about them, those houses were already snapped up, because as we all know, the housing crisis in Inishowen is desperately difficult at the minute. So
what we really need to reach, Jack, and this is in no way disrespectful for those with good wishes and suggestions, it's really someone who owns a house one that's coming to market that we're really, I suppose, would need to try and tap into today. A family of six, four children. Their children, or some of the children, attend Drumfries National School. So obviously they need to be somewhere close to that, around Buncrana, you know, Farn, Drumfries. And any offers at this point with the clock ticking, because I presume they've been looking for quite some time, Jack, but they've just come to the point now whereby they have to get out.
Yeah, it's a matter of days. Monday's the day for them, really. So, as you say, look, if anybody happens to own a home in that area that could be available, that could suit this family that are desperately in need at this moment in time, if you could come forward, even through your own show, contact me directly. Mm-hmm. I can pass on the details, and hopefully over the next few days we can find a home for this family, because it's a desperately difficult situation for them right now.
And I mean, I suppose at a bare minimum, you're looking at three bedrooms. At a minimum, or if I don't know if the child with additional needs needs their own room or what have you, but it has to, you know, with the best will in the world, a one bedroom bungalow, there has to be an element of realism to what's a viable option for them, I presume.
Yeah, look, a three bedroom as a minimum would be ideal, but I think anything at this point can be considered to come forward. If you have it, no, we'll look at it. Look, it mightn't suit, but it might. So if there's anything at all, people could come forward. If you think they have something that could suit this family, it'd be greatly appreciated by myself, obviously, by the family, and to be doing a good deed just at a time of real need for these people.
All right, Jack, thanks for your time. That's Councillor Jack Murray there. So that is a house, a family in desperate need of a home. They have to leave their current accommodation on Monday because of DCB. They are currently in the Drumfries area. Their children attend Drumfries National School, so you can imagine they're young. They're a young family as well. So they're looking for anywhere in that area around Buncrana, you know, between between Fawn and Dumfries. You know yourself, 086 60 25,000, if you want to text or call us, and we can pass that on. Right, let's take a very quick break. I'll be back with my next guest in just a couple of moments. Right, you might have heard us reference a little earlier in the week, I believe it was, a higher rate of illegal parking offences in Donegal. There's been a significant increase. 518 were issued in 24, up from 415 in 23. That's an increase of 25%. Now, I'm going to tease that out with the man who got these figures, because I wonder, is this a good thing in a way, in that it shows we're actually nabbing people for it, right? Because I've spoke to organisations in the past and they felt there was a lack of enforcement. And of course, without enforcement, you don't discourage behaviour. So we'll see what Councillor Thomas Sean Devine of the 100% Redress Party thinks. Good morning, Thomas. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to your listeners.
I mean, obviously, in the first instance, it's crazy, isn't it, that so many people are being caught for parking in spaces reserved for people with a disability. 518 last year, it's up on 23. So how do you look at these figures? Is this a positive in that, you know, we're actually enforcing this now at the higher rate of fine, and maybe that will discourage this behaviour, or are people just rolling the dice and don't care?
Greg, to be quite honest with you, I was shocked when I seen the figures, you know, and that's not including fines that's issued by the Garda Síochána. That's just through the traffic warden system of the council. But, you know, I couldn't get over it. I'm flabbergasted that the people would just ignorantly park in a disabled parking area. And I'm hoping, Greg, that this puts an end to it. It's only this week, Greg, it's been highlighted last week there. And a lorry sitting on two, unloading a lorry sitting on two disabled spots in the Market Square in Letterkenny. And the same in the High Road coming out of the Credit Union, and the same company parked in a disabled spot outside the Credit Union. It's flabbergasting that it's still going on, and the much highlighting that has been this last couple of weeks. And I'm hoping it stops, Greg. You know, and if,
yeah, I accidentally parked in a space sort of down by Watson's Menswear ages ago now at this stage, but I genuinely, it was an accident. Are we making sure that there's proper signage, that drivers can see the signs, not only just what's on the road, but sometimes you can miss that reversing into a space, but also a bit of vertical signage? Are you satisfied that this is driver error? Someone like me should have been more aware, or do you think we need to be doing more to make it clear what spaces are reserved for people with a disability?
Greg, I would say some of the markings is very poor on some of these spots. There's no question about it. And some of the councillors have brought up that Donegal County Council should have their own lane on lorries and stuff like that, you know, and maybe that's an argument from another day. But I do believe that these spots should be highlighted more, Greg. You see most of them in the north side, they're painted blue with the white markings on them. They're more distinctive. Some of the lanings we have, in fairness, is not great at the minute. But they're good enough that you know there's a disabled spot there. You know, and people do make mistakes, Craig, make no mistake about it. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm sure yourself was a genuine mistake that you parked on it. And them can be very excusable, but...
No, it was only fleeting. I kind of walked away from the car and turned and went, oops, and went back again. But yeah. I'll tell you, if I'd got a fine, €150 fine, you would hope you wouldn't do it again. And that increases to €225 if it's not paid in 28 days. So, I mean, those are significant fines. You'd imagine, Thomas, that they should discourage people.
That's a great. You would nearly think that €150, and mind you, if it's not paid and you get into court, that's €2,000, 6 months in jail, banned from driving. That's how serious it is when you get into court with this matter. You know, that should be a deterrent on its own. But it doesn't seem to be. It still seems to be a case that people park on them, you know. And here in the south, Greg, with your disabled badge, you're parking free. When you use your disabled badge in the north, you still have to pay for the parking. And I think that it's more highlighted on there, you know, with the markings are painted blue, right, white markings on them. Out here, maybe we need to look at the same. Maybe that could be a deterrent if they're more marked. But, Greg, I don't know. That's serious. I'm actually sitting in the hospital here looking at Londa. and you're looking at disabled spots to see if you see badges and whatnot.
I think it's once you become aware of that, you do find yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, €77,000 at €150 per pop was raised last year. I mean, surely that money could be used to better signpost this stuff. Though that sounds like I'm giving people a pass, and I'm not. But listen, the message going out today is that, be very clear, the traffic wardens are enforcing the misuse of disabled parking bays, so don't use them. If you don't care about inconveniencing another person who might struggle to walk or what have you, worry about your pocket one way or other. We need to crack down on this. It's too big. And I wonder, the majority of those in Letterkenny, do we know the breakdown, Thomas?
No, Greg, I will get a breakdown. Like, I'm hoping to get a breakdown from the garage as well. But you see, no issue is when you get into shopping centres, a private car parking, and there's no real enforcement there, you know. And I think maybe speaking to some of these shopping centres that we will try and get some kind of, you know, because they do use private car parking firms, not they force the parking on them. So, as you do see it, a lot of shopping centres, people just park up. They think, nothing can be done there, and they park away.
Tomas, everything's going all right for you. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, thank you, Greg. Take care.
Bye-bye. That's Thomas Sean Devine, councillor with the 100% Redress Party. Come on, Greg, I didn't see the sign. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. These spaces are clearly marked. I'm just being honest. I'm not going to sit here and try and make out I'm holier than thou and I've never made a mistake. You know, I could not have said it. But the truth is there was I reversed into a parking space just down around that area. Got out, walked off, looked at it, and went back and moved the car. It's just the facts. I'm not saying, I mean, if I'd had a ticket slapped on my car, I deserved the ticket. I made the mistake, that's fine. But I wasn't there long enough and nothing came from it. That space was not clearly marked, and I do believe there should be vertical signs or signs on the buildings next to the parking spaces. Not for me. If I'd have had to get the fine, I got the fine. But I'm not going to sit here and lie either, just so that you avoid texts like that. Greg, if parking in a disabled zone without a valid permit is illegal, then a few vehicles impounded would do the job. Yeah, indeed. There's a lot of fines being dished out. A caller says it's an incredibly selfish act. These spaces are specifically designated for individuals with disabilities who often rely on them for accessibility and independence. A caller says, can you clarify whether or not people are allowed 15 minutes before they can put a parking ticket on the car? Popped into the pharmacy for only 5 minutes and was given a ticket at €60 I can't afford. Now, it's half an hour free parking in Letterkenny. Caroline, it's half an hour free parking, isn't it? Yeah, no? Is it? I don't know. I'm never there that long. But anyway, if it's 15, we'll check that out. I suspect you may have parked somewhere else in the town earlier, because the way it works is, as far as I'm aware, your number plate is scanned, and it's not necessarily scanned exactly where you are there. It is scanned where you are there. But say, for instance, you stopped at a shop further up the street and had your number plate scanned, and then you popped down to the pharmacy and half an hour later you had it scanned. It might show that you were there parked. The free parking is not free parking. You couldn't move the car down the street every 50. It is 30 minutes. Say sorry. It is 30 minutes. So I suspect you've probably moved the car around the place, and I think it's 30 minutes per day. I don't believe, and I don't mean not 30 minutes that you can break out throughout the course of the day, but you're allowed to park once for 30 minutes in the day, so that it is possible, unless I'm very much mistaken, it is possible that you maybe were further up the town, got your number plate scanned, and further down the town got it scanned again, and you would seem to have been parking from... Maybe that's it. I don't know. I'm guessing here. I suspect that's it. Or it could have just been an over-enthusiastic parking warden, but I believe your number plate has to be scanned once and then scanned a second time. Otherwise, you know, where is the point that they're all comparing it from? Coming up in the next hour, we have more chat, of course, but also I've got the zany duo of Zig and Zag, Lee Gooch, and or is it the two old men up in the box in the theatre? That's the Muppets, isn't it? Well, anyway, I've got Lee Gooch and I've got Keith Fletcher. They are in studio along with Corinne from the sales team, and they're going to be talking about a very exciting, fun night out happening in Letterkenny, I believe. No, Jackson. Sorry. Jackson's, it's in Ballybuffet. I heard this. It's in beautiful Jackson's Ballybuffet. It's coming up in a wee while. I'll give you more details on that with them. And also then from 11 o'clock, we've got a special rally preview. So we're going to be talking about the race, of course. We've got Brian Brian Brogan. We've got Oisin Kelly. He's going to be in. Eamon McGee are going to be in. We're going to be talking about the routes and how things will unfold and all that kind of stuff. Any questions, get into us. But obviously, we do know there is an element that come into town that don't really watch the rally at all. And the guards are not going to stand for it this year, we're being told. So we'll find out what the guards are going to be doing to ensure the roads are safe, but also, I suppose, to limit the inconvenience to residents as best possible.